Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from John chapter 20, especially these words. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It was Easter Sunday, and those disciples, they didn't know that Christ was risen. They heard the report from the women who were there at the tomb early, telling them that Jesus indeed had risen from the dead, and they refused to believe it. All of them doubted. Not one believed. Not one remembered what Jesus had said. On the third day, he would rise from the dead. And then there's Jesus standing right in their midst. The doors are locked, closed, shut. And there he is. Can you imagine? In that moment, the terror of seeing Jesus. This was the guy, after all, that each one of them had abandoned, left, denied, betrayed, did not believe, did not trust in. Not one of them remained faithful. And there he is, the one who did all of those amazing miracles, the one who they abandoned, the one who is now risen from the dead, standing right in front of them. And what should he do to each one of them? No doubt they're all answering that question in their minds. But Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Not just once, but he says it again. Peace be with you. He comes not in terror as the King of Kings, but he comes as their shepherd, their pastor, to forgive them their sins. It's amazing, isn't it? That Jesus does exactly that. He brings peace. Peace between themselves and him. Peace that they did not deserve. Not one of them deserved it. They all deserved to hear the law of God over their sins. And yet Jesus gives them peace. He breathes on them. Maybe that's kind of odd. He tells them to go out and forgive the sins of sinners. Maybe it's not odd that Jesus breathes on them. You remember back in the book of Genesis when God gets down into the dust and dirt and mire to make Adam. What does God do? He breathes life into Adam, into each one of us. God breathes that breath of life, and we become a living creature. It's fitting, then, that God should breathe on these sinners his Holy Spirit to forgive their sins, to grant them faith, to simply trust in him. And in this text, we see Jesus doing what Jesus does, beginning a new ministry. Jesus had been doing that. On Maundy Thursday, he took the bread, he took the cup, and gave it to them. "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Do this. Do this," he told them. There to go out and have the supper. Not just to remember what Jesus had done for them on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, but to receive what Jesus says, the forgiveness of their sins. But this is not some closed meal for them only. This is a meal for all Christians, all who believe in Jesus Christ. You apostles go out and give this body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus establishes a new ministry. He does so a little bit later in Matthew 28. Go into all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. Baptize. Bring God's grace. Breathe into those sinners the Holy Spirit, that their sins would be forgiven, and teach them that they are forgiven. Jesus establishes a new ministry and sends these 11 guys out to do this thing, to teach, to baptize, to offer the supper to sinners. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that what we have been doing since John chapter 20? For 2,000 years, the church has done exactly this. Nothing more, nothing less. The office of the holy ministry is established here in John 20. Not to make the pastors better than everyone else, no. But there must be one among a congregation to serve, to give the gifts of God to God's people. How many hands can go into the baptismal font? One. How many can speak the words of Christ at the institution? Just one is necessary. Of course, these disciples, these apostles, go out and do this thing. We hear about it through the book of Acts. We hear about it today in our first reading in Acts 5. They went out and would not stop teaching and giving the sacraments. Not even being beaten, not even suffering and being arrested would stop them. Nothing would stop them from breathing on other people and giving them the forgiveness of their sins. So it is today. But nothing should stop us from doing the same thing. You've seen it this morning, haven't you? We had a baptism right here. We did exactly as Jesus said, to baptize all nations. And so Callan was baptized. His sins washed away. Christ breathed on him and granted him new life. You hear it now from the pulpit right here, the teachings of God, reminding you of all that God has done for you. You'll have it right there at the communion rail as we receive again Christ's body and blood, doing as he commands us to, receiving it for the forgiveness of sins. You see how much God loves you? That he would not leave you alone, but that he would give you a witness and ways to connect himself to you, to bring the benefits of what he has done for you upon the cross to you, into your life, because we sinners need Jesus. Those disciples needed Jesus, not the Jesus of the last day and judgment day, not the King of Kings, Jesus, coming in terror, but they needed the Jesus who would come among them and say, peace, peace be with you. The Jesus would come and wash their sins away. The Jesus would come and feed them with his body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. The Jesus would walk beside them and teach them all that he had done for them. That's what they needed. And that's what we sinners need as well. We need to be reminded of who we are and how much we need the gifts that Jesus offers. Thus, God has established a new ministry. It's not so new anymore. It's the same ministry. The pastor would stand, hand in water, giving out the gifts of God, water, bread, wine, and word, to all those who come seeking forgiveness, that you, would be forgiven, not disbelieving, but believing all that Jesus has done for you. In his name, amen.